Hello everyone, this is Ashish. Welcome back to our podcast, and today we are going to again address a bunch of questions from you. It is difficult, but I do go through each and every comment. There used to be a time I used to reply to each and every comment too. Can't do that anymore, but I do read each and every, and if they're good ones, take a screenshot. You see, you can see half of my laptop, but this is how it works, and then I save it. Also, I know if you have tried to DM me on Instagram, you probably did not get a response, but I do go through each and every one of them as well. So if you did not get a response, I might have perceived it as like you watched one video and thought that I should just talk to him directly when the response was already explained some video or the other. So before you actually directly try to connect with me, I would suggest that put your question in the YouTube search bar and put talk4712 at the end of it, and it probably will pop up because I've made like over 500 videos in the past 5 years. But there are few questions after going through like hundreds and hundreds of them. There are like dozens of questions which I've never talked about, and I think that it should be talked about, and those are the ones that would be covered in our podcast. I have few ideas about few things that I would like to add to this podcast, but well, it's a process of development of this whole structure. You can put your suggestions down in the comment section. As mentioned earlier, I am going to go through it sooner or later. Now, I'm going to just run through some of the questions on the screen, as you can see right now, which I would like to cover. But you know, questions are just like catalyst. It just helps us start a conversation, and at the end of the day you get a title of this podcast, which is what it ends up turning into, and we don't know, and that's also the beauty of the podcast, kind of a reason to start doing it live, I guess, but it becomes such a mess in the comment section. I've tried that few times, but anyways, so let's go through the top one first, because I don't know how YouTube works, because it does not depend on the number of likes that comment gets, but it does seem like it is popular. That's why it is on the top. And it might have something to do with the dislike button, which I never got how it works. I believe the creators do have access to how many dislikes you got. I've never seen that. If you have the access, that's super hidden. All right, this first question, without any further ado, is by Sanskar Chauhan 4678, and that 4678 must have a meaning, because my YouTube channel does have four digits at the end of it. How to deal with the exhaustion build up over the years and months of preparation for exams when you are supposed to be chilling but can't? All right, define chilling. Always thinking of what next to do, what next to study, and other overpowering thoughts related to the things from which you are supposed to take break from. But how do you know you're supposed to take break from? Tell me where it is written in the stone. So I understand where this question is coming. I understand why this question is coming, and I'll make you understand what my idea is about, because obviously somewhere along the line, about 5 to 10 years in the past, I have dabbled with the same questions. And so I'm going to discuss this. One last line: can't make myself feel relaxed anymore. Okay. Now, it looks like you're preparing for some examinations. Now, it can be anything, starting from 18-year-old kids preparing for NEET, ITJ, things like that, to 29 years old preparing for IES examination, civil service examination, 33 years old preparing for some examination or the other. It is basically applicable for everyone. Or even if you're not preparing for examinations, well, the last time I prepared for examinations, it was 2018, and as you can see, it is like over 5 years ago. But I feel the same way, like it never ends. And that is how I want to break down this question, because a lot of these questions are based on assumptions, which in turn are wrong. And see, there's some line, some quote somewhere along the way, I don't remember exactly what, but it is something like, if you understand the question very well, that is halfway to the solution. And I learned this while preparing for competitive examinations. And it is a very important part to read the question well, understand the question well. But what if you are the one fabricating the question? And what if the question is partially wrong and you have to find the solution too? So basically, it's not a question. You are laying out a problem statement. And what if the problem statement itself has flaws? So we are going to get to the bottom of it. So this particular question is based on few of the strong assumptions. That is, for example, we came out like when you are supposed to be chilling, but you don't. Now, how do you know you are supposed to be chilling? Because everybody says so, because you watched a bunch of YouTube videos of vloggers having a good time. Why do you believe that? Because you don't go in this world searching for truth. You go in this world making your own truths, and you find out what works for you and what doesn't. Maybe going out and chilling, air quotes, might work for some people. It works amazing for, let us say, musicians, artists. And it might not work for you if you're preparing for competitive examination. Now, it might not work for you as well if you're doing a PhD. It might not work for you if you can think of a bunch of things, doing a startup or something, right? But the point is that it might work for someone else, might not work for you. So what is the source of your information? There was a short couple of months ago, which was in Hindi, because this was an extract of Delhi seminar, the most recent one, third one in 2023. Okay, so the extract basically talked about what is the source of your information, because that is very important. And this is where most people make a mistake in defining the problem statement, is not questioning what is the source of the information. So let us say you want to design a product, right? Now, what you're going to do is do a market research, find out what people are looking for, what is the current demand, has someone else done it, can I do it better? These are the things, right? What if that source of information is incorrect and you start fabricating a product? Now, will that product work at the end of the day, even though you did everything perfectly afterwards? So that is why it is very important for you to sort out your mind. Ask these little questions like, okay, if I'm supposed to be chilling out, who said that? Did my parents said that? Or did my little brother said that? Or did I watch it in a movie and someone said that, oh, you only live once, and that is how I made up my mind about this, right? So, hey, you are supposed to be chilling sometimes, but you're supposed to be not chilling a lot of times. And it depends on at what point of life you are at. If you have achieved most of what you wanted to achieve and you think that right now taking a break or chilling is going to help you to relax, decompress, and do better in future, then that is the way to go. But if you have achieved nothing, not saying that you have done nothing, if nothing that you have done has brought you to a point where you can afford chilling, then that is not what you are supposed to do. So think about these things first. And that is why most of the time I'm not even able to go through 20% of the questions, because I take a lot of time to explain the question in the first place. Okay. Next, I have not even started to answer the question, but I'm explaining why your question is a little bit flawed. What was the name again? Sanskar, which is fine. And then moving on to, okay, related to the things you're supposed to take a break from. Okay, a lot of things you're supposed to do. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing about those who are in between 18 to 25. They have a reference of what it was until they were 18, when they were dependent on their parents. And especially this becomes a huge shock when they're like 22 and they get into the industry and start making their own earning or trying to make their own career. The thing is that so far you were really protected by your parents or whoever was taking care of you. And so you develop this idea that life is okay and I can have a good time most of the time, because you were having those good time on the expense of someone else not having a good time. That is what the majority works like. Don't bring exceptions. They are not examples. So this is the problem with those who are getting into their 20s, early 20s, and even to a huge extent up to their late 20s, because look at the experience they have with the independence or being responsible for themselves, like barely 10 years. And most of the time, a lot lesser than that, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 1 year. So now look at the reference they have for them being dependent on someone else, most of the time 18 to 20 years, sometimes 22 years. So their mind is set in a way that life is supposed to be easy, but they never experienced the perspective of those people who are making the life easy. For example, when you were 14, you never had to worry about getting food on the table, right? You never had to do that. All your problems were probably like getting your homework done or preparing for some examination. That's not a real problem. And that's the thing what a lot of students do not understand. Your problems are not real problems. Real problem is to get food and shelter. That's the first place we start when we start in our career. And so you think that every now and then you need a break. Why? Because you prepare for an examination and then you go out and then you chill. You prepare for something like some terminal examination, some boards examination, that's like 6 months and oh, we are done. Now we get a break. But when it comes to reality, when you're making a career, you are at the bottom of the food chain and you are looking at 10 years of shit. That's what it is. It's like 10 years of just walking through shit. You have no value. Because you have developed no value, and that's how it is designed. It takes time to develop any value, and you just have to go through shit after shit. That's it. And that's how it is. What are you going to do about it? Like, think about it. Why are you going to be able to afford relaxing? Now, please do not misunderstand. I'm not saying that you should take zero breaks throughout like 10 years or something. That's not my point. But I'm trying to explain what you are missing out. And I understand this because I've gone through the same things. And as I mature more and more, I'm still like just hitting 30. But I've seen more than at least the person from which the question is coming. I prepared for competitive examinations 3 years. That's three attempts. 2016, 17, and 18, and I prepared 2 years before that, so we are talking about somewhere 5 to 6 years. So I understand where it is coming from, and I used to blame a lot on what's going on, and this is the situation, this is bad, and my luck is bad, and this always happens to me, and everybody does that. But that's coming from a person who's too young to understand that most of the life is going to go like this, and that's completely okay. You are supposed to learn how to have fun with that. And you're supposed to cherish struggle, right? Because that's what's going to give you like real experiences. Now, I also heard someone say that in the comment section, which is now when I think of it, it's not really heard. I read. So I read that someone was saying that, hey, you sacrificed so much throughout your college and then in BAIC training school and you never had fun. I have so many experiences with friends and I had fun. Yeah, that's one form of experience, my brother. But there are other form of experiences when you're like backed into the corner, you don't have money in your pocket, you can't pay rent, and then you figure it out. And then you play and you end up on top. So that's also one kind of experience, and that's like one of the whole story set for the book that I wrote. So think about that. Like, I have enough experiences to write a book about it. And it's fine either way. Like, I've had those experiences with the friends too. That's fine. That's pretty memorable too. But that's also to be bring into your attention. Something else that is like struggle and pain and suffering are also experiences. Like I've talked about it, that people misunderstand failure and success too much. They segregate it. But in reality, both are just experiences. And that's, I think, what most of us are seeking. That's why you seek a movie. You want the experience of someone else. You want to see and learn Well, that's how human civilization developed in the first place. Like, people used to sit around bonfire and talk about like how someone got attacked by a lion or a bear, and how that person died, and then that person survived, and someone figures out, oh, this is how you survive, and then, oh, next time you faced a bear and you survived, and you share that story, and then someone figured out how to make fire, someone figured out how to make weapon, they sit around, they talk about it, they share experiences, and that's what we like, right? So what you are ultimately seeking are experiences, and that cannot be denied that a lot of them comes from struggle. I can't say much about Bollywood movies because most of the time they are very unrealistic, and the realistic and good movies are often brushed under the rug. But a lot of movies that you might have liked, like, for example, one of my most favorite Bollywood movie is on MS Dhoni, right? And coming from the same city, I related with it a lot. And most of the movie is just struggle. It's just him going through shit. It's him looking at the guy who is his batchmate, who he played across, and he's playing World Cup, and he's sitting in some tier three quarter of Indian Railway somewhere in like West Bengal, and think about what he would feel like, right? And those are the emotions that a lot of us have to go through, and that's not fun, that's not chill. But you know, ultimately you may be related with that movie because, well, you face those things too, and nobody can escape that. Nobody. No, money can't make you escape that too. Even if you are born with wealth, you can't escape struggle. You'll be struggling some way or the other. So point being, I've still not gotten into rest days or cheat days, and all those things are important, what I used to do technically. All I'm trying to do is explain it to you, the harsh realities that a lot of young students don't understand. And some people might get a little bit easier. I mean, obviously, people coming from wealth and parents are always there to give them a comfy life, and powerful parents and all that, you know how things works, but they are also minority, and you can't compare, and world is not equal, but it is equal in terms of opportunity, and you got that opportunity. The question is, what are you doing with it? Are you sitting over there just complaining about other people getting more opportunities and messing up with everything that you can do with your opportunity? Okay, finally, coming down to what is my point? My point is that it is not defined when you can take a break, take a rest, and when you have burnt out. If you go a few episodes back, I have also talked about burnout in huge detail. There was a short which went pretty popular. If you can watch a video connected to it, it's a full 1 hour podcast discussion on it. And you do not know when you are burnt out. Failure is not a reason for you to stop working. Setbacks is not a reason for you to stop working. You do not know your limits. And that is what you are trying to do in most of your 20s. You are trying to find out your limits, and you are not going to find out your limits without sometimes crossing the line. And when you cross the line and you burned your engine red, then you take a break. That's fine. I just took a break of 5 days, and that is why no videos were coming out. And sometimes it is important, and I feel great about that. Now I get a lot of new ideas. The mindset sometimes needs to take a break too, because sometimes you're just running. Right, you're just running and you never pay attention that you're running in the wrong direction. But here's the thing, what is the right direction? Sometimes it is important for you to just be running, and sometimes it is important for you to take a break. I probably took a break after maybe freaking 3 years, or maybe even after 10 years or something. I don't remember when was the last time I just took a break, but I did in the past like 3 to 4 days. I'm pretty sure it wasn't even 5 days, because I went to gym on Monday, and this is Saturday. I'm like, I'm okay with it. This is the end. I just worked out before this podcast, and you know, I'm working right now, and that's what I realized, that if you completely like decompress sometimes, you can think, oh, all the things that I made a mistake. Because see, again, this is what you need to understand about success and failure. Even if you're hyper successful, there are things that you've made a mistake in. And I'm not saying I'm hyper successful by any means, but even if you are in an okay position, you made a lot of mistakes. And sometimes people don't look at that. And sometimes people do the same when they fail. They don't look at the things that they did right. So it is important for you to analyze sometimes, okay? And that is most of the time little bit later than you think. That's the problem. So do this, monitor yourself. Okay, now we are talking about techniques and something that you can actually physically apply in your day-to-day basis. So monitor, like let us say if you are preparing for a competitive examination, you're studying every day. Now, how much hours are you putting in and how much results are you getting out? Now, what I used to do when I was preparing for competitive examination, it was super simple. I'm solving numericals every day and there's a count of numericals, right? Like I solved this many numericals today and it's very easy to count how many hours you did. I used to use an app. I'm pretty sure it's dead now, but the app used to just count my hours and I used to take like breaks every 30 minutes or so, 5 minute breaks, get back to it. Then after 2 hours, take like a 20 minute break and then get back to it. And it would not count the breaks. It would just count the effective hours you're putting in studying. And then I can easily, like at that time, my target was 200 to 300 numericals. And you see, sometimes you're just doing better, 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 better. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And one time you just crash and it comes getting, starts going down. And that's fine. That's the time maybe you take a break. But to be completely honest, when I was preparing for competitive examinations, I never took a giant break. Now, even before I started preparing for competitive examinations, I was like working very hard towards my CGPA ever since like 2012 when I got into college. I like abandoned every kind of social events that came across my way, to the point that now I'm not even invited anymore, and barely much interaction with friends. And that's the position I was in. Like I was not in a good college and the future did not look too bright. So what am I going to do now? So that's the thing. Like a lot of people are in a fortunate position. Those people who are not exactly pointing out to him, but this is like a general question. Like these questions of breaks and all, like people who are really struggling, they won't be considering taking a break because like they are struggling, man. They will do anything to get out of it. And like, for example, if you are really in a position where you won't be able to pay your rent for more than 2 months, let us say you do not have a job, what are you going to do? Are you going to think at that point, oh man, I'm burnt out, man, can I take a break? And the answer will be like, oh, take a break. You might have to lose sleep for a couple of days, man. Otherwise, you're going to be kicked out. And similar things happened to me like right after I left my job in 2020 and the COVID pandemic hits. And then like somewhere around like September and all other calamities happen. And I'm in a position that I'm having like $12,000, I would be so fortunate, 12,000 rupees in my bank account, and my rent is 12,500, and even that 12,000 rupees was from the course that I had recently started, Art of Speaking, and it was from like, oh, you have to do work for this, it is just advanced payment, and I had to start batches. I think first batch was in October 2020, and I was like, oh, I need to do something to get some funding over here. And I worked, that's what I did. And like, I worked towards like getting sponsors at that time. And obviously, you know, I can't say that, oh, I worked so hard for like 5 years and then I finally got into Indian Space Research Organization. Then I worked over there to maintain this, my podcast and writing on the side. And then I left when I could have just stayed over there and chilled. And then, COVID pandemic happens, man. Why does this happen only to me? Meanwhile, COVID pandemic happening to the rest of the world as well. And then I have to struggle and all these things going on, which is not good. And then I'm at the bottom over here, not being able to pay my rent. I need a break, man. I need to chill. So that never happened, man. Break never came to me. I think right now I'm in a position where I can at least afford like 4 or 5 days of break. That too, like partially. It's not like I'm chilling for 4 or 5 days completely. It's just like I gotta do like 8 to 9 hours of work and then relax and maybe not go to the gym for 4 days. But yeah, most of the life is struggle. What you're gonna do? And if it is not struggle, then you're going to be struggling mentally that you're not doing your best. It's always a balance. So I just want you to understand that it is going to be more difficult than you thought. And the breaks and the long breaks, like a vacation, man, first of all, rich people take vacations. Okay? If you're going for a vacation for 7 days, you have to be in a very good position. I, till this day, have not gone to like a 7 day vacation, and I'm not seeing myself doing that for at least like next, at least like 2 to 3 years. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I'm just hanging out on a beach or something. So, and I know that most of the people who are following my YouTube channel are students are obviously in, much worse position, which I was in too. And that is why I keep on making this content, so that you have someone you can relate to. I would say that it's a choice. See, you can give it up, all right? That's very possible, and you can take a normal life at any time. I could have stuck with the first job I got, and I could have done a 9-to-5, and that would be awesome. That was like a government job that is never going to fire me, and I would be retiring very well as a very senior scientific officer. Everything would have been fine, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's a choice. If you want to relax and have vacations every 6 months, you should aim at getting a steady job. And if you haven't gotten a steady job, your full-time job, it's kind of like a startup, is to get that steady job. And it's not going to be any vacations or chilling until then. I don't think you can do much about it. What are you going to do? Like, are you going to get a steady job to get a steady job? That does not work out. So that's when you start understanding the harsh realities. Sanskar Chauhan, I hope I was able to answer your question with the best of my knowledge and experience, and I hope I did not offend anybody. So that's about it. Also, if you do not want me to call out your name, then you can put in bracket, hey, keep me anonymous, because this is a public comment. So next, I'll still respect your privacy if you put just a comment of don't take my name. Okay, coming up next, hey, I should a little bit talk about my book. First of all, my book, The Boy Who Did Not Sign, is on Amazon, and you can buy a copy right now in India or in the rest of the world. It's in Amazon.in, Amazon.uk, Amazon.com. If you hate Amazon, then you can get it on other places too. Like, for example, Kindle, which is also Amazon. Just kidding, man. Or you can get it on Apple Books, or you can get it on Google Books. It's in a bunch of places, pretty much everywhere. But I need to talk about it sometimes, because it's just a book that I worked on for 5 years, and it was tough, man. And put a lot of hours in it. This was like my top priority for 5 years. Get up every morning, write for 4 to 5 hours. And I want people to read it. And if you're on a budget, then you can also go for an ebook version, like I said, which is like freaking 1/3 the price, but I get equal amount of share, so it's doesn't make much difference to me, but it might make a difference to your physical touch. So depends on you. Moving on. Now we have been talking for half an hour, man. You can't hate on me for not plugging my book for half an hour of the podcast. Come on, man. Most people do it in the first second of the video. Okay. Now, I do not know if I have time for other questions as expected. I will be, however, going through one of the DMs. And I was talking to this guy called Sanket. And he read my book. He raised me out. And he also mentioned me on one of his stories, which is great. Anyways, I will just screen record keeping this guy anonymous because unlike a public comment, this is a personal DM, but we can talk about the content. he says, should I even bother to prepare for BARC after reading about your horrific experiences? You literally had to change the institute's name to mention it on your book. That's a heck of an allegation, sir, but I'm not going to get into that. And I accept or deny anything that your no comments on that on the record. I want to say that my experience in DAE might have been horrific, but your experience can be horrific working for Apple. Okay, it depends on you, on what you do. There are a lot of very satisfied employees in Department of Atomic Energy, and okay, not going to get into detail, but basically what I said is nothing more horrific than being unemployed. That's the next book. So yeah, I mean, this is not only with BARC. A lot of people have asked these questions about ISRO 2, that is it even worth it to prepare for ISRO, bro? But here's the thing, do you have a job? Most of the people don't even have a job. This guy doesn't have a job, okay? No knock on Sanket with a hidden identity. But there can be hundreds of Sanket in this world. And what I was saying was that, yeah, get a job, man. If you don't have a job, like that was exactly my situation before I got into BARC training school, that I don't have a job. Do I want to be an Indian Space Research Organization? Yes, sir. Did I qualify it? No. I failed in the written test that happened on 7th May 2017. So I shutted my mouth and prepared for the next best job that I could get. If I failed in BARC written test, or God forbid, the interview, I would have gone for some other job because I need a job to pay the bills. It's fairly simple. So yeah, it's totally worth it if you just are in the need of a job. Get a job, you can get a better job next, and you can move your way up. But yeah, these things I don't like much. I can't hate on this guy. This guy like took his time to read my entire book, but it's also very important to smack him in the head sometimes, to let him know where he's wrong. It's actually my responsibility sometimes. Not literally smacking, but figuratively. Now, coming back to the point. Sometimes people ask these questions because they want to justify why they should not do it. They want to make themselves feel better, sleep better at night, and fall asleep quicker at night because now they are like, oh, I don't want it anyways. Right? You do want it. You do want to work for Indian Space Research Organization. You do want to make rockets for a living. Some of you do. And I'm talking exactly to you. If you do, that's what you want. And right now, you're not doing that. Later on, if you leave it after working over there, it doesn't make a difference because you already did it. You did what you wanted to do. And so you're cool and you can move on. If I never worked in ISRO, I would have lived for the rest of my life thinking what my life would have been if I worked in ISRO. Do you get the difference? Right now, I have that reference. I'm not going to live with a regret. Oh, I could have worked over there and my life could have been different. And more importantly, even if I couldn't, I would have at least have one thing to say. I at least did my best. It was just not designed to be. It was just not possible. What do you want me to do? Right? But like leaving without even trying, that doesn't make sense. I'm extremely happy and also very fortunate that at least I got a job in Department of Atomic Energy, a very prestigious one too, where I was able to put in time to actually move forward in the direction that I wanted to. And it was a great experience. It was an experience of nuclear science and engineering. Man, I'm going to cry about that. Is that horrific? Hell no. I love nuclear science and engineering. I did not before I got in over there. Now I do. It's really a good, cool science. And I got to experience that. What are you talking about? No, it's not the organization. It's not the institute. Sometimes you're in just bad zone. You might be in the best job of this world and you're just in a horrific relationship. So your life is horrific. Doesn't mean that institution or organization is horrific. You make your own life, not the organizations or the institutions that you work in. And this is not just to play freaking politically correct. It's reality. That's how it works. These are just giant machines. So how can that they make your life miserable? So that's with that out of the way. The thing that I said to him is that his next question, set of questions came like, I'm thinking of M-Tech. Is that worth it for core branches? I'm pursuing chemical engineering last semester. See, here's the thing. You can't ask me these questions of what is worth it. Like, worth it based on what? Job perspective or what? There's a probability of higher jobs or what? What are you trying to ask? Like, how can I say that you are going to be very successful chemical engineer with the M-Tech if I don't know if you're going to work your ass off? I have no freaking idea. Is there any pill that I can give you? Is there any direction or decision that I can give you that will for sure make it happen? It won't. This is not how the world works. It depends on you, of what you do. So it is better for you to make those choices yourself too. Don't listen to others for decisions because they do not know you that well. They do not know your strengths that well. They do not know your weaknesses that well. They do not know what you want to do based on like 20 years of your experience that made who you are. They cannot get inside your head to see what you really want to do or what you're capable of, what you are not going to work well at. So why are you leaving those decisions to them like he's leaving to me? Like, should I? That's very limited set of like inputs for me to tell you. My biggest question is that how much time are you ready to put in? If you said that I'm going to work like hell for the next 10 years and I want to pursue dancing as my career, I'm like, go for it. Doesn't make a freaking difference. You're going to be very successful if you're just ready to go for it and just suck it up and just ready for all the failures and all the setbacks. If you're ready for that, no matter what you do, you're going to be making a great life for yourself and you're going to be extremely happy. And that's the thing people do not understand. Like, pain and suffering brings happiness at the end, and that's how it is all designed. And that's what most of the people are afraid of, suffering. Like, they don't want to go for it. They just want to jump to happiness. And that's also a jump route for drugs a lot of times, because it makes you happy all of a sudden without any like pile of crap that you have to go through. But then again, it comes with a cost. Energy is balanced, right? And anybody who has done any kind of intoxicant knows that, like, there's going to be a load too. Sir, you have to pay back. So that's it. Now, what I said line by line was, only if you're interested to learn more about chemical engineering. And why did I say that? Because if you're interested to learn more, no matter what happens, you are going to learn and gather knowledge and you are going to build worth. And that is going to build a great career. But if you're not interested in that, then what the hell are you doing a master's degree for? What are you doing for campus placements? If you're going to even get a job over there, you would have to learn a lot. So your objective should be learning, like your 20s. I think that's the title for this podcast. Your 20s should be a learning process. And unfortunately, that does not happen with a lot of partying. Oh shit, I did not talk about cheat days. I will pay attention towards that at the end of it. So keep at it. Bear me for a little bit more. Okay, next. Didn't you just read my book? Okay, first of all, wrong English. Sorry, Sanket. Show me the page where Ashwin asks someone else about what is worth it. So that's it. Like, you can read the entire, like, how many pages? 336 or so? No, 331. You can read the entire book and you will not see a single moment where Ashwin Taksh is asking, like, what should I do with my career? To anybody. Like, there's a point where he has, like, he's not getting into ISRO. His job currently is at risk. He's being thrown out right now. He's going to be unemployed very soon. He does not have any income right now. It's going to be happening very soon too. And he doesn't ask anybody, like, what I should do. He's like, oh, here's the list of 10 things that I can do. And let's see which one can actually work out, which one I can. He's doing like a SWOT analysis. So he's not asking anybody when he's doing good, and he's not asking anybody what I should do when he's doing poorly. He's like, always like, this is my decision, it's my responsibility to make this decision right. That's what you're sleeping on when you have read this book, The Boy Who Did Not Sign. You are not looking at what he's doing. You're not looking at what right he's doing. He has a lot of flaws, like freaking horrible when it comes to relationship. It sucks the way he deals relationships, but he's pretty good when it comes to how he deals towards career. And that's like the whole book is clashing between relationship and career. But he's doing the other thing pretty well. And it's mostly because he takes decisions. He doesn't take right decisions. That's a problem with a lot of people. Most people want to take right decision and they delay taking decisions way too much. This guy takes decisions and then works extremely hard to make that decision right. Like, the output of that decision should be right. And that's what most people do not understand about decision making. It's not what you do at the decision. Yeah, little bit of analysis, little bit of thinking, and you can see that in this book too. But ultimately, take the decision, get moving. Not spoiling this book for anybody, but those are the things that you should take. Like, notice what is the mindset, what is the mentality. And this is with most people who were able to do what they wanted to do. They don't ask a lot of questions of what I should be doing right now. Like, I never asked anybody whether I should do mechanical engineering or not. You know what? Most of the time, when you know what you want to do, or you know at least, or you think at least, like, this is what I should do, when you make that decision, most of the time people will be coming around and telling you not to do that. And that's when you know that you're in the correct path. People around gathering, like, hey, don't do it. And you're like, oh, you don't have the experiences that I have. You don't know my strengths and weaknesses. How do you know what I should be doing and what I should not be doing? And you ask them what you should be doing and they have no clue. They don't know what they should be doing, but they know very well what you should not be doing. Somehow, that makes zero sense, but makes total sense to most people. And they all listen to other people, and other people listen to other people, and nobody listens to what they want to do. So, pick anything, okay? Based on my experiences, based on my strengths and weaknesses, this is what I think. You are never going to be, this is what I know. This is what I know what's going to happen. You're always going to be, this is what I think. And whatever you think, okay, do that. And then adapt and move along the way to make it right. Like, that's the major challenge that you have to, like, be water, man. Line from Bruce Lee. Okay. Just move around the hurdles, dude. That's it. Okay. Don't ask me. Okay. We are still at my response. Yeah, that's it. Don't ask me what to pick and choose based on numbers, statistics, and job opportunities. Pursue the career you believe you're okay, wrong English by my part. I did not reread it, but pursue the career you think you would enjoy. Whatever you choose, it will be difficult and will involve a lot of sacrifices. So, never ask, like, especially never ask a random person with a 25k follower on Instagram what I should do. Dude, if that person gives you the answer, that's probably what you should not be doing. Like, that's a moment you stop and think, like, hey, what do I think, man? Dude did not even talk to me for 2 minutes. He responded to my DM with 2 words, and then I'm going to do that. Like, imagine I would have said, yes, it's a good idea. This is the best college, go for it. And then he's like, oh, I'll go for it. And then he never works after, and then horrible results, and I never solved any problem over there. So my responsibility is not to tell you what to do and what not to do. My responsibility is to teach you how to think. And so that you freaking catch your own fishes, man. I'm not going to give you fishes to eat. I'm going to teach you how to catch fishes. Simple as that. But the guy is like, okay, that makes sense. I'll work harder. And I'm preparing for GATE exam for the one last time. And that is what I'm happy with. That is really what I'm happy with. This guy wrote very little amount of words, but that's mostly what I talk about. Hey, man, give GATE one shot. Quit that if it does not work out. Give a very hard shot. Competitive examinations in general works the same way, and most likely he is able to understand that so well is because dude read my book. Okay, if you read my book too, thank you. And you should drop a review on Amazon, because that helps first time authors. It really does. And I would read your DM too. No, I'll read your DM otherwise too. But I'm bad at that. I'm bad at marketing my book. It's a freaking marvel of a golden book. I never marketed it that well, but it still sold thousands of copies, so that's fine. All right, sir. Okay, we have to talk about cheat days. So real quick, this is how I used to do cheat days throughout my life. Post when I was 18, and it has been like 12 years of, I'm turning 30 by the way, like in 2 days. So there's going to be a video for that too. What are the major lessons I learned? But anyways, coming back to that one. So it's like 12 years of tried and tested. And like I said, I've still not reached a point where I can take like a freaking 7 days vacation in Hawaii or something. But this is what I did, and this is what I'm doing. I would take like 1 day of a mild day, where I would be just studying or working or writing or whatever I'm doing at that point. I would do that only for like 5 to 6 hours. Then I would chill out for 2 to 3 hours, probably watch a movie. Okay. The only thing different with what I did in the past 4 days for the first time in my life is that I've been doing that for 4 to 5 days straight. That's it. And that's what I call a freaking vacation at this point of my life. Okay. And that is what I did when I was preparing for competitive examination. I turned out okay, I think. if you think that I turned out okay and I did not go like psychotic, maybe try it. All right. But then again, it might work for me and might not work for you. Some people break faster, which is no knock on them. And that is a reality. And some people just keep on going for like 12 years. And some people just like need a break very quick. And still they turn out to be billionaires. So that's fine too. And they become super rich and famous. So you can be that one too. And it does not matter how much breaks you take. It's not a race against each other. You will have to find out what works for you. But if you ask what I did, yes, I did take cheats. And that's what I started to do like in 2017, fairly late. Right after I failed at my second attempt at Indian Space Research Organization, I'm like, oh, so there's something I'm doing wrong for sure. So I started doing this. Okay, on the weekends, maybe I'll just chill out for like 2 to 3 hours, or I'll go out with some people, have a dinner or something, or whatever it would be. I always avoided those 5 to 6 days like vacations. I remember like a few of my friends were always making these trips whenever there was like a longer vacation, like a Diwali or something, like a 3 days, 4 days vacation. I always looked at it like, oh, I can use these 3 days, 4 days to get to where I wanted. And that was something that might have hurted me way too much. But ultimately, this is what I did, and this is what I call cheat days or rest days. And it helped. Okay. And right now, I'm doing pretty much the same. Yeah. Right now, I'm like, again, when I start decelerating, it's again like a mental clash, right? am I not doing enough for what I want to pursue? Like, what I want to do is publish like 3 more books. that's what I want to do. When you take some time off, you start thinking like, can I be putting time into that? Or if the next 3 books do not come out in like next 10 years, then will that be on my fault? And that's what you always battle with. But rest is extremely important for you to be thinking all right and being more creative. And above all, sleep is extremely important. And that's another thing which a lot of people sleep on, ironically. So for the past, since 2020, I guess. Yeah, since I left ISRO. Believe me, you might not believe me, but even when I was working in ISRO, I was not sleeping more than 6 hours at night, because like it was a struggle of a job with another thing going on, which was like my public speaking events and writing the book, and like ISRO job is hectic too. And I was not sleeping more than 6 hours. But after I left ISRO, I think that was my biggest achievement, that I started sleeping like 8 hours every night. And that's what I'm doing right now too. So don't sleep on sleep, man. Get your 7 to 8 hours of sleep. That's important. And that's all I can say. Sorry that in this 1 hour, I could only gather enough energy to discuss just 2 questions. But, you know, this is like questions and concerns of most of the people. So that's about it. I'm going to end this video over here. And I hope you liked it. No, I mean, hope you like the thumbs up button over there. And hope you subscribed it. If you haven't, which is fine, nobody gives a shit about subscribe anymore. But if you would, then that would help me to reach 350k quicker. And you might be a part of that team and the mission. Follow my Hindi YouTube channel. I should have said this in the beginning. Dude, I'm just going to make a cut sequence, because I should really do it. Because nobody knows about my Hindi YouTube channel. So if you speak, listen, and understand Hindi well, then there's a podcast in Hindi that comes regularly too. It's called the Momentum Podcast. If you did not know, this art podcast initially also started as a Momentum Podcast, then we bifurcated into Talk and Fire, Momentum, and art podcast, and then ultimately freaking made just 2 podcasts, one in Hindi and one in English. And the Hindi podcast has a Hindi channel, and it's at Ashish Talk Hindi. This is at Ashish Talk, and that channel is only named Ashish Ranjan Hindi. And I'll leave the link down in the description box, sir. And that's about it. I'm going to end this over here. See you all next time. Till then, bye.